Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 103 and verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1.
Psalm 103, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before Your throne tonight asking You, Lord, for Your blessing on Your word this evening. May You just fill our hearts and minds with Your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, You might be highly exalted and lifted up and our lives empowered for Your honor and glory, and that we might hear from You tonight and worship You in truth and spirit. So bless each one here tonight, and we'll be careful to give You all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, Bless the Lord. That's important. Bless the Lord. We talked about praising the Lord today and how important that is. And when we consider the word bless here, it is the Hebrew word barach, which means to kneel, a position of humility and praise. I think the Lord wants to be praised. Amen? I'm convinced the Lord is worthy to be praised. Everything belongs to Him. He spoke everything into existence. And on top of all that, He loves us. Isn't that amazing that we have a loving God who's wanting to make the way? He has made the way and wants to draw us closer to Him that we might enjoy a wonderful relationship on this side of eternity, and then wait till we get on the other side when we see Him face to face. Truly, the best is yet to come. What a day that's going to be for every believer. And so as we consider our psalm here this evening, we find that the psalmist here is stirring up himself and his own soul to praise the Lord. So we're going to look at this evening, we're going to look at personal reasons to bless the Lord. We're going to look at the Israelites' reasons to bless the Lord. And then we're going to notice reasons for the redeemed to bless the Lord as well. So back up with me here in verse 1 and notice what he says here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. So he is reminding himself of the importance of his soul personally, who he is, to bless the Lord. He says, bless the Lord in verse 2, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So God has benefited us in many ways, has He not? He's benefited, we talked about, even just the love of having a family. Isn't that good? And then just having life in and of itself. And then good health, right? We thank the Lord for that. And the air that we breathe, and so many different things that we maybe sometimes can easily just go through the day and forget about or not think much about. But everything that you and I have and on this side of eternity has been given to you and I by the Lord Himself. And so truly, He is worthy to be praised. Notice this in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Boy, if that's not a reason to praise the Lord. How many of our sins have been forgiven? All of them, not just some, not just most, but all of them have been forgiven. He forgiveth, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases. And one day we'll have a life with no disease. Isn't that amazing? No death, no more sickness, and just forever with the presence of the Lord. Who redeemeth, verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness. Boy, that's worthy of blessing the Lord. You and I are loved by God and tender mercies, it says there in verse 4. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He's saying, boy, God gives you brings you to a place where He refreshes you, He strengthens you, and blesses and encourages each and every one of us. So it's the Lord that's to be well spoken of, basically, is what the psalmist is saying here, because He is the fountain of all good things in our life. It is the soul that is to be employed in blessing God. And it is all that it is within us that He desires really to give to Him. And so when it comes to our relationship with God, it's important that we make a work of our heart to go towards the Lord. Lord, we want to give You our hearts. And here David is listing some of the things that came to his soul that reminded him of why he should bless the Lord. Notice the Israelites' reason here, several of them, to bless the Lord in verse 6. He says, the Lord executed teacheth righteousness and judgment for all the oppressed. Were the Israelites ever oppressed? Oh, we can go right back to Egypt, can't we? And they were oppressed there. And then notice this. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And here we find God's revelation is one of the greatest blessings to his people, because unless God reveals his truth to us, we walk in darkness. We don't understand. It was the Lord that revealed to Moses his plan on redeeming and freeing Israel from Egypt. And so when he had that revelation, he followed that revelation, and God worked out this salvation for them. And then he shared that with the people of God and said, this is what's going to happen. And everything, maybe I should ask you this, did everything happen exactly the way the Lord said it was going to happen? Absolutely it did. And so if Israel could be dependent upon that, can you and I be dependent that God will perform everything he said he would bring to pass exactly as he said he would? So we can have confidence in that. And so here again, we find this revelation to the people of God. He reveals this to them. And then notice here, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Did the people of Israel need the mercy of God and for God to be of slow anger? Did they ever mess up as they were walking with the Lord and as they followed the Lord? Did they ever step out of the way? And of course they did, right? More than once. And praise the Lord for his mercy, or they would be non-existent, and you and I would be non-existent. But here the Lord has great mercy for them, and he's slow of anger, and he has plenty of it, and we thank the Lord for that. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Now, I don't know about you, but I like that idea. Amen? That God will not be angry forever. You know, sometimes we think, well, there's nothing in my life, really, that would make God angry. Do we really know that? Do we really know that? I would dare say there are things that we overlook that God doesn't overlook. And yet in his mercy and in his grace, he is long-suffering with you and I, and patient and kind. And we need to thank the Lord in that. Verse 10 again, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. Or we'd be in trouble again, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. So David is not saying, I think I have some iniquities. I think I have some short failings here. I think I have some sin that enters into my life. He says, no, I thank the Lord that he does not reward me as I deserve. And boy, oh boy, David really messed up, didn't he? And he could have had, but still he was a man after God's own heart, was he not? And so praise God. How is it that God can love us? Isn't that a good thought? How is it that God, and yet here's the truth, he does love us. He does love us. And so is that not cause to praise the Lord and to bless his holy name, for us to stop and say, Lord, I'm like David. I don't know what you see, but boy, I thank you for the love that you have for me. Isn't that great? God loves us, and he's celebrating that and blessing the name of the Lord. For as, verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, and by the way, that's not just speaking of the heaven where the birds fly. It does include that. But then there's another heaven where the stars are at, and my goodness, that space goes out for quite a long ways. And then there's the third heaven where God dwells, and who knows how far that is. And so he says here, for as the heaven is high above, verse 11, the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. So you can include the heavens where the birds are at, and go even further out to space, and then go further out to the third heaven. And he says, this is how great God's mercy is, how high above his mercy is towards them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's one of my favorite verses. Amen. I love the idea that you can just keep going west and keep going west and you'll never meet east, right? I heard one older lady, a saint of the Lord, they asked her, what do you do when the devil accuses you of your sins and tries to bring that before you? He says, I tell him to go west. and just keep going until he meets east. And I'll just send him off that way, going round and round and round, right? Because my confidence is in the mercy of my God. My understanding is that he loves me and that he has removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. And then she says, if he gets tired of that, I'll tell him to go east, and just keep going east, right? Because it works both ways. You never come to one another because the Lord has removed them forever. We thank the Lord in that. Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. We are dust. We think a lot of ourselves, but there's not a lot to us. We're simply just dust. And that's the truth of the matter. We like to think we're something more. I mean, if you look to Hollywood, and if you look to these advertisements for makeup and stuff like that, or for these cars, they make it look like if you had whatever it is they're promoting, your life would be complete. Don't they? That's what they're basically saying. This is what you need. That's why they do advertisement, right? This is what you need to find fulfillment in life. And you and I know those things don't really bring fulfillment in life. It is a relationship with the Lord that makes all the difference on this side of eternity and in the world to come. So he says he knows our frame. He says we're just dust. He remembers that and is aware of that. And I think that causes him to be compassionate toward each and every one of us. As for man, verse 15, his days are as the grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Isn't that true? I mean, when we start out, when you see, here comes spring, right? And we started seeing some spring flowers pop up. And what happened to those spring flowers? The frost got them. It just wiped them out. But that's all right. Listen, the spring comes and everything, and it looks so beautiful, but then it's gone. Even if it makes it through the spring, it goes through the summer, and then when the fall comes, that's the end of it. So life at the longest is short, but praise the Lord for eternal life, because we'll live forever with the Lord one day where we will never grow old, and one day where our bodies will last forever in the very presence of the Lord, and we will be praising the Lord for all eternity. And I think we'll enjoy that praise when we sing out and call out to the Lord for his great grace and his goodness toward each and every one of us. So verse 16, he says, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. This is speaking about the flower of the field. And the place thereof shall know it no more. It's gone. It's gone. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to what? From everlasting to everlasting. You can't get any longer than that. From everlasting to everlasting, on who? Upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children, children's children. So it goes from generation to generation. So here we find these reasons for the redeemed. We see the Israelites were freed, and God was patient with them when they rebelled against the Lord, and the Lord was kind and gentle, and still holds Israel in his hand, does he not? He still holds Israel. He's not done with them, and he'll be dealing with them more direct. My goodness, he's already working in their lives already, and you hear of a lot of Jewish people that are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior in Israel. And so we thank the Lord in that. So he says here, his mercy is everlasting, verse 18, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. That ought to be the desire of the child of God. I don't just want to hear the word, do you? I don't want to just be a hearer of the word, as James says, but we want to be doers of the word. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heaven, in verse 19, and his kingdom ruleth over all. You and I are on the winning side, are we not? We're on the winning side, and he's the one that rules over all. He says this, bless the Lord, verse 20, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Would you say that the theme of this psalm is to bless the Lord? to bless the Lord. What does that mean again? That word barak means that we kneel. It's a position of humility, and that we praise and kneel in adoration of our great God. Why is that? Because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. So tonight, God reminds us and says, look at my benefits. Look at the blessings that I have given, beginning with salvation. Salvation is the greatest blessing of all that puts us into a right relationship with him to be the recipients of all the other blessings that he has in store for the people of God. How many promises and how many blessings does he have for each and every one of us, right? And they're all found in the Word of God, his love letter to each and every one of us that points us back to the Lord. This world is a crazy world that we live in. It's not looking for the Lord, but God's people ought to be, right? The Word directs us to that, and the love of God compels us to love the Lord. So tonight, God reminds us he is worthy to be blessed and to be praised by every one of his children. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this reminder that you give us here tonight about the blessings that you and the benefits, Lord, that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us as your children. Lord, may we not take that lightly. And may we, Lord, as we go throughout the evening tonight and throughout every day in this week, may we be reminded, Lord, it's good to pray, but it's just as important to praise you for what you've already done and what you're doing and what you're going to do in each and every one of our lives. May we not forget all the answers that you've given to us, and may we praise you for each and every one. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.